a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to all of our campuses here at Bridge City Church. So excited to be bringing the word to you today. How many of y'all had a great Christmas? Come on, give a shout, raise your hand. How many of y'all wish that Christmas was every week? Oh, not sure about that one, huh? Maybe once a month, but hey, once a year is great to remember that God is truly with us. So here we are on the last Sunday of 2024. And as we finish this year, I'm praying that we will enter next year even stronger, because how we finish is how we're going to enter here. And so I'm going to be sharing my heart about some things that have happened within me in 2024 and within our church, and help us to have a holy curiosity in looking forward to 2025. You know, the beginning of this year, it didn't start off real great for me. I wouldn't say anything really horrible happened. It just didn't start off that great. But somewhere right about in May, something significant changed. I was at a prayer meeting and somebody mentioned this term to me, a wide-eyed wonder. And there was something about the way they said that God wanted to restore something to me, got my attention. And then I came across this verse in the Message translation in Matthew chapter 6. Your eyes are windows into your body. If you open your eyes wide in wonder and belief, your body fills up with light. If you live squinty-eyed in greed and distrust, your body is a musty cellar. If you pull the blinds on your windows, what a dark life you will have. You see, somewhere along the way, my effortless, joyful, surrendering life with God became kind of like an obligation, and I didn't even know it. My relationship, which was vibrant and growing, somehow became a routine and then became a rut. And I wasn't even aware of it until this verse came alive to me. I didn't realize that the adventure that I was living with God in faith somehow turned into a little bit of a mystery. And what matters most is what we do in the mystery. That's what matters here. And so I had to go back, and I didn't realize it here, but I had to go back, and God restored to me in that time this wide-eyed wonder. You know that picture of a young child, like when he sees Santa Claus or sees the Christmas tree or sees presents, their eyes light up. And that's what I want to live by. And I'm going to use this term, holy curiosity, a curiousness about God and what he's doing and how he's doing it. And this is what I want for you and what I want for me here. I want to go back. I mean, listen, even Albert Einstein, who was a pretty smart guy, he said that may we never lose a holy curiosity about eternity, about heaven, and about spiritual things. So that's what the real invitation, it really is. See, somewhere along the line, what we all tend to do is we want to cope with life rather than live life abundantly the way God created, live victoriously. I'm giving you some hints of where we're going in 2025. We're going to start living victoriously and get out of the plateau and get out of the complacency and see what God will do. Okay, well, today I'm going to read to you from Isaiah chapter 43, and I'm just going to look at a little bit of a text here. So Isaiah is a book in the Old Testament, one of the major prophets. What makes a major prophet different from a minor one? How long the book is. That's really it. And so he's speaking to God's people who were going to be taken into captivity. But he's already speaking, even though they were going to be in captivity. So I'm going to speak as if we're in captivity, even into a mindset right now. Just bear with me. And what God is doing, and he speaks as if God has already done it. I want you to catch that. No matter where we are, God is already up to something and moving us forward here. You see, God's people, their hearts were far from God. They were doing lip service, but the obligation, all the requirements and the obligations, and they were doing what was necessary, fulfilling all their functions, kind of just like I was. But something was missing. That's it. Something's missing. And they were going to in a place called Babylon, which typically represents chaos and confusion. Babylon typically represents the world system. We live in a crazy world full of chaos and confusion. Can you say amen to that? Yeah, yeah, we really, really are here. So here we go in Isaiah 43, 14. This is what the Lord says, Bridge City Church. Your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator and King. I mean, this sounds like a praise waiting to happen right here. And listen, I just want to press pause for a second and say, listen, I want you to come out New Year's Eve to our worship time together. We're going to worship God in the last day of the year. We're going to honor Him. Over 10 people are signed up to be baptized right now. And I'm going to share an exhortation that's going to launch you into the new season that God has for you with a holy curiosity and a wide-eyed wonder. So here it is, the Redeemer, the King. And this is what we need to remind ourselves in praise and worship, that He's the Redeemer. He's the King. He has the final say, and God is in the redeeming business. He is in the business, listen, to take obstacles and turn them into opportunities, pain into process, healing hurts into healing. This is what He does. This is His best work. He does His best work in brokenness. This is what I learned this last year. He does His best work. His most awesome things happen in times of brokenness. But this is what He wants to do. He wants to take our moments and turn them into movements. That's right. See, He wants to take, not just give us more information, but He wants to give us a revelation, which turns into transformation. Yes, and He wants our moments with Him. See, we are fixated on moments. What God just does in that moment, and we capture that moment. But what God wants for you and for me to take times like New Year's Eve worship and take times like we're experiencing here today, and He wants to turn them into a movement where the transformation happens as we put into practice the information because it's turned into revelation. See, why did we come here today? Did we come here today for just more information, for some more facts? Or did we really come so that our lives can be transformed by God beyond mere information, beyond just staying where we are, the plateau? God wants us to move forward in that. And it starts with realizing He's a redeeming God. That's His best business right there. Okay, let's go on here. Verse 16, I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all its chariots and horses. I drew them beneath the waves, and they drowned, and their lives snuffed out. Now this is God reminding His people of what He has done in the past. This happened a long, long time before here. You know, do you know what one of the reasons why we get together here is? Because we forget. Yes, we forget. We forget what God has done and what He is doing. Sometimes we forget who we are in Christ, and that's why we slip into times of relationships turn into routines and ruts, and we just plateau with no purpose. And that's why God brings us, and He reminds us over and over and over again to what He has done. And I just want to take a moment and review what God has done. Just a few of the things, just a short snapshot of what God has done here at Bridge City Church this year. Well, we have concluded our One Vision campaign. Next Sunday, we're going to reveal how much came in our offering in last week, and what God has done, and give the final thoughts on this. Yeah, 3-year giving initiative. And I want to thank you for participating, saying that God has a future for our church, and God has a future for our lives, and for the generation that's coming right after us and stepping in to their fullness right now. Okay, we also have seen 109 people thus far respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is huge. People have crossed the bridge. Some of them recommitted, some were first time. But with that, we saw 47 people get baptized, and we still have more to go this week. That's huge. This is really, really big, and people identifying with God and taking their next steps with Him. Yeah. Now, kids, We have seen some really super cool things happen with our kids. We saw 54 of them get together right before Thanksgiving, and they put together 300 happy birthday kits that were passed out at our food distribution. That's right, they were involved in the mission of God. So very, very thankful for them. Small groups, we saw 45 in last winter term and 43 in the fall. 43 different groups just concluded meeting, which means that people are in relationship and they're growing. They're growing to be fully devoted followers of Jesus. Thank you. Can we give a big thank you to all the group leaders and the coaches out there? Hey, thanks so much for making that happen here. 10, yeah, that's right, 10 different churches got together and did an outdoor worship service on a Sunday morning. That's huge. How many people got baptized that day? What a great and awesome day that was. And then we saw over 100 kids get together just for kids ministry that day. 61 people went on short-term mission trips out of the city. Wow, that means that over 10% of the adult attendance at our church on an average, we take that average, over 10% we sent into the mission field this year. Huge, thank you. Let's continue that in 2025. We saw 82 people participate with our Pittsburgh missions trip. That's great as well. People that were equipped and trained and empowered so that we can have a huge impact right here in each of the locations of our campuses here. Victory and Freedom Retreats continue. The first time people that attend is huge. We saw over 70 people first time experiencing true victory over their past and freedom to launch into their future. In addition to this, the transformation stories are huge. People that got out of debt, cutting up credit cards, launching into faith initiatives and giving for the first time, giving of their lives for the first time, leading a group for the first time. This is really, really big. This is what God has done. But wait, the next verse is coming. But forget all that. Verse 18, it is nothing compared to what I'm going to do. God, I believe, is saying to us, watch what he is about to do here. See, we cannot cling to our past. We cannot say, oh, the past is great. And just because we had a great past, well, then that's fine. We are not a church that has ever settled for average. We have never settled for good. For good is good enough. We can get better, but we're not just going to get better with trying harder. We're going to get a revelation and allow this holy curiosity to once again come on our lives. This wide-eyed wonder. Come on, this is my prayer on a routine, regular basis. This wide-eyed wonder that God has given me, I want to live in. I want it to be a regular part of my life. I do not want greed or distrust or anything else to creep in. I want that to be it. The Apostle Paul said, Philippians chapter 3, I focus on one thing, this one thing. I forget the past and I look forward. That means we got to forget the good, the bad, and the ugly. Forget our successes as well as our failures. Leave behind our credentials. Leave behind our history. Leave behind the emotional turmoil. Leave it all behind and let's press on together here. We got to be able to reach beyond our symptoms and our personality. One of the things I believe God is going to do in this next season of our church's life is we are going to move beyond serving him out of personality and really serve him out of spirituality. That's where he is leading us here. Watch what I am about to do. God is going to give us deep moments with him that create, again, this holy curiosity that lead us into a deeper, more meaningful relationship with him. What this is an invitation to the uncomfortable and the inconvenient as well here. But God wants to do this. He wants us to be kids at Christmas all year long, looking to him, enjoying the victory. Not saying there's not going to be any problems. It's just our circumstances aren't going to dictate here. We're going to continue to be childlike in our faith, not childish. Unfortunately, Many of us, we slip into childish. It becomes about me, my selfishness, what I want. And what God is asking us for, a faith that's childlike, full, joyful dependence on and with Him. But you know what? We have to be able to see it. I was playing tennis one day with somebody who was significantly better than me. Actually, they were helping, I could say, coach me at this moment. I came to the net and I hit a shot. I missed the shot. And I stopped for a moment and I was just thinking. And he stopped and he said, "What are you doing?" He said it kind of just like that. And I said, "I was visualizing that shot." "Well, I just missed the shot." And he said, "Visualizing is good. They teach you that in sports. You have to see yourself succeeding. You have to see where you want to be." But he said something very interesting. He said, "Visualizing a winning shot is good. You just need to do it quicker. You just need to do it sooner." And what I learned was, is you got to see yourself as victorious. This is what God is doing. He's opening our eyes, our wide-eyed wonder, so that we can once again see our lives victorious with Him and for Him and in Him. Not only individually, but collectively as well. That's what He's doing. But you got to be able to see it. Verse 19, here it is. "For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun." God is already doing something in your heart and in my heart here. But do you see it? This word "new" here literally has it's a word for renew, repair. That's what it is. It's a fresh start. That's what it has here. It's making new, making fresh here. This is what God is doing. He's renewing us. In the Hebrew context, this word has the connotation of divine intervention. God is bringing us to a place where he's intervening in our lives, for our lives, with our lives. And this is what we're doing here. We're moving beyond the inconvenient, but we're going back to a place of effortless, wide-eyed, joyful wonder. That's what we're doing here. This is what it's communicating to us. God is inviting us to rise above our perceived limits, but we have to be able to see it in the Spirit. You have to see yourself as victorious. See yourself the way God created you. God is doing something in you. Just like I said earlier this year, I was broken, but God does His best work. He got my attention and He brought me out of that and back into a joy relationship. Something clicked in my life and I am thankful for it. I didn't even know I needed it, but God did, and I'm thankful that He did. But I want to make it clear, God is not inviting us to mere compliance. Comply with your faith. Just be compliant. No, He's inviting us into faith, to embrace the mystery that we're in and see Him, see the adventure, stir the holy curiosity. And what I mean by that is just this holy, like, "God, what are you doing?" This curiosity about who God is and what He can do, what He will do, and what He wants to do. He wants to give us rivers, rivers in dry places, which is a symbol of a life-giving flow. That's what rivers do. They bring life. They have sustenance to them. It's in the middle of a dry land. I don't know where you are right now, but God wants to give us a river here. He wants to give us a pathway, a new way to walk. That's what He's doing here. Through the desert, it may again feel like mystery. It may feel like we're a little uneasy, but God is bringing us past that and through it. You see, we can't predetermine what we can and cannot do. One of the things that happened to me this last year, and I've been sharing it a lot, is I went 10 weeks and I couldn't do any physical activity. I tore a calf muscle. I was in a boot. And it was a very, very difficult time for me. Like, "God, what are you doing?" I didn't realize it was a picture of what God was doing spiritually in my life. I didn't realize that what was happening to me on the outside with my calf is what really happened to me spiritually. I just allowed myself to get into a rut and a routine. Yeah, and went places here. But I got put into a boot and I couldn't walk for a little bit. But then I had to start re-exercising and getting it healed up. At one moment, the physical therapist told me, "You're healed. You just got to get stronger." Mentally, I wasn't ready for that because my whole identity became the boot. It became the problem. It became the issue. Many of us in our lives, you have a boot in your life. You have an injury. Something happened. And God doesn't not only want to heal it, He wants to give strength to you. And I'm going to share some ways that you can get strength in your life, and we're going to get healed up. God is going to restore that wide-eyed wonder, that holy curiosity. He's going to do it in your life and in my life, even new and fresh. That's what He's doing here. But see, I had to say, I am healed. I just need to move forward. See, God is doing something interesting. And when we flip the calendar, He's not just flipping a calendar in days. He wants us to see what He's already begun. And He wants us to participate with Him. That's the big difference about how we launch into this next year. Are you all ready to launch? Come on, are you ready to launch into 2025? I am. So here is a couple ways that we're inviting you to launch with us. On the first three Sundays in January, we're going to gather together as one church in one location and worship and honor God. During that time, we're going to receive an exhortation on how to pray and how to fast. Each and every day on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays, you're going to receive some directions, some scriptures to read, and some things that we are all corporately going to be praying for. So the first three Sundays, we're going to gather together as one church in one location, and we're going to launch a three-day fast. That's right. We're going to have 3 days of fasting, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. But we're going to launch it on Sunday night. And then we're going to conclude our fast with a prayer meeting, which should be joyful, and it's going to be fun, and you don't want to miss it. We're going to gather together on Wednesday evening at each location, and we're going to have a prayer time, and we're going to pray for all the things together that we've been doing individually. God wants us to participate with Him and for Him and in Him with a holy curiosity and a wide-eyed wonder. That's the invitation here. So get onto our website. Get onto it. Look and see. Download that. We're also asking you, would you read the Bible through in a year? We have different plans. We have a 5-day, a 6-day, and a 7-day a week plan that I want you to get into the Word of God each and every day, and you can get through the Bible in 1 year. As we go deep into the Word of God, God is once again going to renew our hearts so that we can live in the freedom He's created and designed us to be in. So would you join me in this time of a holy curiosity.